This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We welcome you to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. In today's program, we begin a new series entitled Gospel Matters, a study on the book of Galatians. We pray you will join us as Pastor Steve Kramer leads us on an informative and inspirational trip through Paul's letter to the Church of Galatia.
So, what is this gospel that Christians keep talking about? Stay with us and you'll find that out today. We begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty and gracious God, we approach you this day, grateful for your gospel of grace and truth. Open our eyes to see those truths about yourself that you long for us to see and to trust and to build our lives upon. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're beginning a new series called Gospel Matters. It's a study of the book of Galatians. Our first reading for our message today is from Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the members of God's family who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we proclaim to you, let that one be accursed. As we have said before, so now I repeat, if anyone proclaims to you a gospel contrary to what you received, let that one be accursed. Here ends our reading. Dear friends, shortly after I was accepted into seminary back in 1976, a letter came in the mail for me from a dear friend who I respect a great deal. It was a letter congratulating me on being accepted into training for the ministry. He also told me how excited he was that I was sensing a calling into the Lord's service. He encouraged me by saying that he thought I had what it takes to be a good pastor. He also gave me some great advice in the closing of that letter. He told me that my faith would be challenged a great deal as I attended classes, and I would hear things that could possibly shake my foundational faith, but that I should hold on to that simple gospel I had been raised in all the way through my early years. He said, hang on to that evangelical gospel that your parents taught you and that you've heard from me. Well, I kept that letter all the way through my seminary experience, and I would frequently pull it out and read it for encouragement and to keep my head on straight as I went through that great, great seminary training. By the way, that friend who wrote the letter was my predecessor, Pastor Homer Larson. It was an important letter in my life that helped me to stay on track. Today we have before us a letter that was also very important and continues to be very important for us today. A letter written from a pastor out of love and concern for some younger Christians that were in some congregations in what we know as modern-day Turkey, who were referred to as the Galatians. This letter was written about 50 A.D. Paul, as you know, was the pastor who wrote it. He started the churches, And now he had heard that there were some issues that had come up, and he was concerned about their spiritual welfare. Some strange things were being talked about and being believed in that caused Paul great alarm. So in this letter he wrote, its intention is to help get them back on track. He begins it by saying, Paul, an apostle sent by Jesus. It was his way of reestablishing his credentials in the minds of these people, who were wondering, I suppose, that perhaps did Paul really have the answers that they needed when it came to thinking about God and salvation and so on. Paul says, I'm an apostle with a capital A. I have met, in other words, Jesus face to face, and he sent me. He gave me this revelation that I shared with you when I brought you the gospel. And then he says, to the churches of Galatia. So it's more than one congregation. There's a number of congregations. And the feel of the letter is a little different from the rest of Paul's letters in the New Testament. It's tinged with a bit of frustration and disappointment. He cuts right through all the formalities. In most letters, for instance, he has the salutation. He goes into a time of thanksgiving, telling them how he thanks God for them and so on. Not in this letter. Paul gets right at it. He says, I'm astonished at how quickly you are deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Paul's ire is up. It appears that they have turned away from the gospel message that he had brought them. They were drifting away from the truth. And so we hear disappointment in these words of Paul, kind of like a parent saying, I can't believe that you're doing this or thinking like this after the way I've brought you up. Well, you see what's going on, Paul goes on to explain, is that he says there are some who are confusing you and perverting the gospel of Christ. Who's doing this? There is a group of Jewish Christians, perhaps out of Jerusalem, that would follow Paul into these communities where he started these churches. And when Paul would leave, they would begin to move in and teach something different from what he had passed on to those people. Paul had taught them that a person is saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul, when he would leave, these folks would come in as Jewish Christians and say, wait a minute, Paul didn't give you the whole story. And by the way, he's a Johnny-come-lately anyway. We've been trained by the apostles in Jerusalem, the ones who walked with Jesus. And then they'd begin to teach another gospel, which wasn't a gospel at all, as Paul tells us in this letter. They would say, you need to become Jewish like us. You need to begin to follow our dietary laws, for example. Or you need to observe the festivals and feasts that we have observed so many years as Jewish people. You see, these folks that were in Galatia were not Jewish. They were what they called Gentiles. And then they would even go so far as to say, you men need to get yourselves circumcised if you're going to truly be a card-carrying saved Christian. They were basically playing upon a human belief that we are so prone to believe in, that there's no such thing as a free lunch, that you get what you deserve. And so they bring this new and improved gospel, as they probably taught it, and it was being swallowed by the Galatians. Jesus is nice that you put your trust in him. It's Jesus plus become Jewish. And their doctrines then were impacted by this, everything they believed. I like what John Stott years ago wrote. He said, the devil disturbs the church as much by error as by evil. When he cannot entice Christian people into sin, he deceives them with false doctrine. Well, that's what was happening in these congregations. And the big deal with that is the people's eternal destinies were at stake here. People were beginning to once again move from trusting in Christ to actually trusting in themselves, trying to do the right thing in order to get God to love them and accept them into a relationship for eternity. And as people were buying into that, there was also the possibility then of the whole Christian church being split up by these differing teachings that were going on from these false teachers that were moving in to Paul's territory. Things were going to fall apart. So the purpose of this letter is to get these folks back on track, trusting the truth of his gospel that he had brought them and living in line with that gospel. Now we ask the question, what is the gospel? Well, first of all, the word itself means it's an announcement. For instance, when a king went off and won battles off in a faraway land, he would send messengers back to his homeland and they would announce the good news, the gospel, to the people of that country. Therefore, we have our King, King Jesus, who has done a great thing for us, and the gospel is an announcement of what he has done for us. And Paul gives us an encapsulation of that in the opening of this letter in the third and fourth verse. He says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ," listen to this now, "who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age according to the will of God, our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever." So what is the gospel? The gospel is an announcement of what Jesus Christ has done for us. What did he do for us? He gave himself for our sins to set us free. We were helplessly, hopelessly lost in our sinfulness in God's sight. And so Jesus, we have him coming in and substituting himself for us. He gave himself for us. He took our place, our punishment upon himself. He took the hit for you and me, for our sinfulness. Our sin is that we substitute ourselves for God and try to run our own lives. That's sin, making ourselves God. And God substituted himself for us. That's the good news. And that equals salvation. And it says that God affirmed this sacrifice, his substitution, when he raised Jesus from the dead and said, yes, he's the one to place your trust in. There are two kinds of religions in this world, you know. Someone once explained to me. One kind of religion, which is all the religions of the world but one, spelled D-O, do this and do that, and you will get your God to love you and take care of you. Christianity, though, is spelled D-O-N-E. We proclaim to the world what Christ has done for us when he went to the cross and paid for our sins and rose again, and whoever places their trust in what he has done, saved. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. The gospel calls for that response on our part. Like a beggar with empty hands, we come and receive the gift of salvation, of what Jesus has done for us. And it results then, as Paul says, in grace and peace. My sins are remitted, and I have peace in my conscience. And fear is gone because now I am a child of God and I belong to him forever. I like what Tim Keller, the great evangelical preacher from New York, has said about the gospel. He defines it this way. The gospel is this. We are more wicked than we ever dared believe, but more loved and accepted by Christ than we ever dared hope. That's the gospel. And that's what Paul is calling these folks back to. And he's saying, anyone who's teaching you anything different than that, anyone who's bringing you Jesus plus something else, let that person be condemned, accursed, because they're steering you in the wrong direction. They're sinning against God. The question I have for you today to consider, which gospel are you relying on? God's gospel or a man-made gospel? The gospel of do or the real gospel of done? It's all been done for you. Some people might be thinking, well, we know better than that today. Those doughheads back then just hadn't been around long enough to get this figured out. People don't get mixed up about this, do they? Let me tell you, they do. Not long ago, I was called to someone's home, members of my congregation, that said, we need to have a meeting with you. We're having trouble in our home. So I went and sat down at the dining room table with them one Saturday morning, and they explained to me that they had been letting Jehovah Witnesses into their home, and they were starting to have Bible study with them, and now they were getting all mixed up. And they said, we feel so anxious. We don't know anymore what we're really standing on. Would you help us? Would you explain the gospel to us again? And so I sat with them that morning and led them through scripture, that concrete gospel that's been passed down through the ages for 2,000 years. And they recommitted themselves to trusting in that for their salvation. Some churches get caught up in customs and traditions and so on, and they begin to tack on things to the gospel. You got to act this way and do this certain thing or whatever. Again, that's Jesus plus. It's legalism. That's not the gospel. In some more liberal churches, you hear mixed up messages like, all roads lead to the same place. It really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere about it. You just love your neighbor as yourself and you're in. Did you hear that? That's not the gospel. That turns the gospel into a you can earn your way into God's favor by loving your neighbor. That's a kick in the teeth of Jesus who gave his life at the cross for us. Recently, I was visiting with an individual who was dying, and I talked with him a little bit. I didn't know him well. He had just started attending our church. In fact, his wife was attending, and he wasn't because he'd been too sick. But I wanted to know about his spiritual state, and so I said, are you afraid to die? And he said, no, I'm not really afraid, I guess. And I pursued that with him. I said, do you know that you're going to go to heaven? He said, I hope so. I said, what do you mean you hope so? He said, well, I'm not sure. You see, I haven't been a very good Christian. Again, there we have that gospel has been missed. It's Jesus plus. I haven't been a very good person. I said to him, I haven't been a very good Christian either. But I know where I'm going because I'm saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Trust his promises, Bob. You see, what you believe, your creed matters. And what Paul is saying here in this letter is that there's no other gospel. The gospel matters. There must be no compromise, no add-ons. I have a formula that I like to share with people. Jesus plus something equals nothing, because that's not the gospel. That's a dead end. But Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Bet the farm on that. Jesus has done it all for you and for me. That's the formula to live by. Years ago, there was a brilliant man named Dr. Albert Einstein, and he was very eccentric, and there are all kinds of stories that are passed around about his eccentricities. Well, one day a cleaning lady came into the lecture hall where he had been teaching out in New Jersey, and she saw all these complicated equations on the lecture hall chalkboards, and over them Einstein had scrawled erase, but in the corner he'd put do not erase over this little bitty formula. It said 2 + 2 = 4. What was it that Dr. Einstein must have been trying to teach his students? Could it be that he was teaching them the mind can go far and face the complexities of life if it hangs on to the basic truths? What I'm asking of you today is the same thing. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Trust that. Do not erase. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we ask today that you would protect us from falling prey to false teachings. By the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to cling to and trust the truth of the gospel of Christ that you have revealed to us in your holy word. And Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. May we be like the wise man who built his house upon a firm foundation that no storm could knock down. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has encouraged you to depend upon the true gospel formula. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry devoted to guiding the lives of our listening audience to a closer walk with Jesus Christ through God's holy word. We appreciate your prayers for this ministry. If you care to also contribute financially to continue making the broadcast possible, please send your gifts to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. All contributions are tax deductible. If you've enjoyed Reverend Kramer's message and would like to hear it again, we encourage you to check out our website, ChristianCrusaders.org, where you can find both an audio and printed copy of today's message. We also offer copies of many of our past programs. Check us out today on ChristianCrusaders.org. If you would like a CD or printed copy of today's message, please write us at Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Or you can call our office at 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo, Cedar Falls, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are pleased you chose to join us for worship today and pray you will be with us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 80th year of broadcasting biblical truth.